The Littlewoods January sale is now on. Own it with up to 50% off selected big brand fashion, home and electricals, with inclusive standard delivery and free returns. Don't miss out. Fashion and footwear offer ends 23rd of January. Home and electricals offer ends 2nd of February. Own it. Shop now at littlewoods.com.
Blog Talk Radio.
NFL season in the books, gone by the wayside. It went extremely fast, and the playoffs are approaching. Welcome, everybody, to another edition of Callous Remarks with Joe Stazak and Steve Callous. We're going to take a look back at the year that was the NFL season. Also look forward to the playoffs that are pending starting this weekend. But without further ado, we're going to bring in the star of the show, Steve Callous. My friend, how are you?
Everything's good. Looking forward to doing this show.
Always a pleasure, my friend. Now it gets real. It gets real from here on out, my friend. And, you know, let's start with your team, all right? They go to Washington, and obviously the Skins need a victory to get in. And the Giants, they come up big. Don't necessarily have to, but they do. They win on the road. And I think a lot of the guys in the talk in the locker room afterwards is I don't know if they needed to prove it to themselves, but they were able to win a big-time road game against a divisional opponent where it meant a lot, and they got it done. It looks like one of those wins they put together when they were making those runs to the two Super Bowls on the road, where they would, it was a dogfight. They would find a way to win it at the end. Your thoughts on the G-Man? 11 wins this season.
Well, just another one of those examples of you play to win the game, and they played to win
yep.
the game, and reminded me a little of the Patriots' undefeated season when the big debate was, should they play hard, what should they do, and they played hard, they lost. I actually went to that game. They lost 38-35 at the Meadowlands.
Yep.
You didn't walk out of there thinking they could win the Super Bowl, to be honest, because they lost at home. But having said that, obviously they could bang heads with, at the time, the undefeated team who looked like they might go 19-0. And, of course, they almost did go 19-0, but they got the Giants again in the Super Bowl. Having said that, they drew, to me, the toughest first-round matchup. I mean, it's probably the best game on paper. But I was frankly rooting for the Lions. You know how they say, oh, we don't care who we play, but I think if you really polled the Giants and they had some truth theorem, do they want to go to Detroit or do they want to go to Green Bay? And Aaron Rodgers, I don't buy the MVP talk. I'm sure we'll get into that, because he was just average the first half of the year. So if you're going to tell me he can win it being great, and great is the word, for the last 6-7 games, then you're going to have to throw Brady into the mix. I'm sure we'll get to that. But, yeah, very impressive. Washington, as you know, I like them. I thought they would win that game. Their offense was great this year. And now the Kirk Cousins whispers are coming out again. Can he do it? Can he do it? Always in the big game. And I didn't get that sense at all. They were an excellent offense all year. But give the Giants defense credit. They've really come on again. If you're Tom Coughlin, you're saying, I wish they would have spent $200 million on defense while I was there. But it looks like Coughlin's going to get another chance. That's for another time. But, yeah, very impressed with the Giants. Kind of disappointed with the draw in the playoffs, frankly. But if any team can go into Green Bay and beat Green Bay, I think it's the Giants and kind of the way they play. And, yes, this feels similar to those two Super Bowl victories for the Giants. But to get over the first hump is going to be one of the biggest, I think, because Green Bay is the hottest team in terms of me watching them play, the eyeball test, if you will, literally the last, 5 weeks of the season.
Well, I don't need to tell you, Steven, that the last two times the Giants made their runs to the Super Bowl, they had to go through Green Bay. They beat them in overtime the first time around, and they beat them when Green Bay was 15-1 5 years ago. So, yes, they have done it under the regime and the auspices of Eli Manning, but it is a tough draw. The talk now that's occupying the airwaves is, of course, you know it, about a couple of their wide receivers that had a day or two off, went down to Miami and hanging out with Justin Bieber and the crew. Where do you come down on this? I'm personally okay with it. They were back at practice today, ready to roll and watching film and The game's, you know, a few days away. I'm cool with what they did on their off. They didn't break any rules. They didn't break any laws. Maybe needed to clear their heads. It's what they can do on their off days. But I know some people may not, you know, really embrace the idea. You know, hey, can you wait till the off season to maybe go have some fun and maybe focus and not put yourself in a position to do something that might cost you or your team? So where do you fall down on this?
Yeah, I won't say I'm cool with it, but I'd say it's okay given the circumstances. It is their day off. They are under a lot of pressure. Nobody got hurt. But I think the problem from a fan's perspective is that it certainly could have been, was not, but could have been a recipe for disaster. And if the headlines came out, they were down there and then one of them had rented a car and, you know, was drunk driving, got into an accident or something.
Yep.
But, you know, I guess you can go no harm, no foul. But certainly I would say as a Giant fan, I would rather not see that. But, hey, they did it. It was their day off. I certainly heard, like, Jerome Bettis, oh, what's the big deal? I used to go out and do that. And that's all cool until something happens.
Sure.
And had
something happen,
it would have been a disaster. So would I rather they have not done that? Yeah, I rather they would have not done that. But having said that, they did it, and they came through okay, and they all showed up to practice. So, again, I wouldn't say cool, but I think it is what it is, and we move on from there. But not, I'm certainly not throwing anything or pounding the walls. I mean, these guys are grown men, and you'd like to expect them to think a little more before they do that because, to me, it is an accident waiting to happen, but this time the accident didn't happen, that's all.
Yes, and I know we call them grown men, but they are 20-somethings, most of them, with millions of dollars in the bank. And
no, that's a good point.
I remember my 20s. I didn't have that kind of bank account, but I still did a lot of things that probably would have hurt me on game day. Yes, it came through okay. As a fan, I certainly would probably want them sequestered somewhere. But, hey, listen, like you said, you know, gotta kind of let them be who they are, and, you know, we'll see what happens from there. But well done by the Giants this year, certainly. And they go to Lambeau. Big win for the Pack, you know. I mean, say what you want. Aaron Rodgers has having all those family issues and talking about running the table. Of course, it began in Philadelphia where all winning streaks seem to begin. And six wins in a row at Detroit, four touchdowns, no picks for Rodgers. Conversely, the Lions, they are in the playoffs. They got to travel to Seattle now, and they're limping in. Matt Stafford, three touchdowns, five picks in his last three games. He was so hot coming into that three-game stretch. One of those losses was to the Giants, like you mentioned. Giants probably would have liked to play them again, only gave up 6 points to them a few weeks ago. But the Pack getting hot. They did it last year. They got hot. You know, they didn't quite get it done, but you really don't want to face, if you can help it, Aaron Rodgers when he's hot in the playoffs and when he's focused.
No question, and they're a legitimate threat. You know, I think I still haven't totally bought into the Cowboys, and I'm sure we'll talk about them, but it seems to me that a bunch of teams can win. The winner of the Giants-Packers game, you don't want to play whoever that is. And
right.
The Seahawks have come back. You know, they were my pick at the beginning of the year. I'll still go with them through the playoffs only because I hate to change my picks. But they were, you know, I wouldn't even look at the 49er game. That was kind of a weird game because they, you know,
sure.
There was scoreboard watching. Atlanta was winning the whole game. The game didn't matter to them. Unless Atlanta lost, they were never really in danger of losing their game. But they have not played well. They're 2-3 without Earl Thomas. I'm actually probably going to pick the Lions getting 7.5 because the Seahawks have not been the dominant team. They have not played great at home. Their offense is hot and cold, but they are at home. So, you know, you like them at home, but they're not what they once were, and nor is their defense what it once was. Do I think they can get through and get to the Super Bowl? I do, but it's not with the confidence I had like midseason when we were doing them every week and their offense and defense had gelled after the first few weeks. When Earl Thomas had been hurt and came back, you remember Cam Chancellor had been hurt and came back, and then for like four or 5 weeks they were like, these are the Seahawks. Well, I'm not saying these are the Seahawks now, and if and when they have to play a road game, do I think they can beat Dallas and Dallas? I do, but it's more on last 5 years than last 5 weeks. That's how I'll say it. And I think the biggest loss of the year is not, for example, Gronkowski as a Patriot, but I think it is Earl Thomas as a Seahawk. I don't think you can give me a bigger injury. We can go quarterbacks, of course. That's a different, you know, Derek Carr, obviously. But in terms of a position player, not a quarterback, I think Earl Thomas is the greatest loss. And I think we've seen that the last 5 weeks by Seattle. I do think they'll win the game, but I think the Lions have a chance to make it close. Although you're right as well, they're decimated. Their secondary is in trouble, the Lions. So I think the winner of the Giants-Packers has a chance to go to the Super Bowl. Obviously, the Giants could beat Dallas, and the hottest quarterback in football could beat Dallas in Dallas. So I think it's going to be fascinating in the NFC, and we'll just have to wait and see.
No, I agree, and I think there are no bigger Detroit Lions fans than the folks in Dallas this time around. If Detroit wins, Dallas will host them in 2 weeks. But if Seattle wins, they face the winner, like you said, of the Giants Packers. Giants 2-0 against the boys this year. The only two losses, really, if you don't count the meaningless game they lost to the Eagles this past Sunday, and of course, then you got Aaron Rodgers. So certainly, I think going back to your Earl Thomas point. Amazing stat, you probably know this, that since he's been out, when he was playing this year and healthy, his opposing quarterbacks that are rating averaged 77.8 per game. It went up to just a scooch under 100 since he's been out. And you're right, and you mentioned that right off the get-go, Steve, a long time ago. I'll give you credit that was a key loss for Seattle, and certainly the way they've played and the instability back there in the secondary has shown and has been a big problem for them. So it's going to be interesting. I would love to see a first-round matchup for Dallas playing the Giants hosting the Packers. I love that idea myself. Let me ask you something, because I am with you. Dallas 13-3 this year, and they've had Super Bowl teams who've been 13-3. I'm not buying in either. Like, maybe I should, or maybe the record would appear for me to want to jump on Dallas. I don't know why that is. Is it because they haven't been real sexy in doing it? Is it because they don't have the flash? You know, like when Romo was, or when Aikman was, you know, slinging it to Michael Irvin, or Emmitt was running for, you know, 247 a game, you know, when they play the Eagles, something like that. I mean, what is it that's holding you back, because something's holding me back from really getting on Dallas and saying this is the team, the best team, which they probably are, at least the way they've played this year, but something is holding me back against Dallas.
Well, for me, I think it's the two rookies have been fantastic. No one thought they would play this well. You could have painted a picture with Elliott behind the top line, not necessarily leading the league in rushing, which he did, but certainly having a very good year. But now it's playoff time. It's a different deal. It's the first time. I know. You know, Elliott played Ohio State, Michigan, and I get all that. But the playoffs is a different game at a different speed. And I think if they get all the way to the Super Bowl, and it was Belichick, for example, I think he'd devise something with 2 weeks and really all year for Dak Prescott, for example. I just think it's going to be a little bit of too big of a jump. I think, weren't they like 1-11 without Tony Romo last year, and this year they're essentially 13-3. And so give them credit for the big turnaround. But I just think it's kind of a big step to go from rookie to Super Bowl champion. And again, if you ask me right now, I would say someone's going to pick them off. If they have to go through, it's almost unfair to Dallas. If they have to go through, for example, the winner of the Giants-Packers and then the Seahawks, thankfully for Dallas in Dallas, I don't know that they can win both of those games. I don't know if they can win one of those games. And then defensively, they're kind of a no-name defense. You know, everybody loves Sean Lee, and rightfully so. And give him credit, he's on the field for the whole year this year after having been injured the last couple of years. But I don't think their defense really scares you. And again, I think if Belichick gets a chance with his offense, you know, I think there's a problem there for Dallas, or you know, I think it's an issue. You know, maybe the Falcons will give them problem. I mean, I think a really good offense can score some points against Dallas, and I don't know, as much as they were talking about Dak Prescott two Sundays ago, really airing it out for the first time this year, I just don't know that he's going to be able to air it out in the big game. So can Dallas get to the Super Bowl? I think they can. Do I think they will? I don't. And I think one of those teams is going to, you know, they've got some tough teams to go against. Seahawks or Falcons or Packers or Giants, you know, Lions and Tigers are bad. I mean, it's just, that's a tough schedule in the NFC for you guys, for them to get through. I think they can do it, but I certainly would not pick them to do it and will not pick them to do it.
No, I'm with you on that, Stephen. And again, this is Callis Remarks with Joe Stazak and Steve Callis, coming to you every Tuesday at 5:30. Playoff preview this week right here, right now. The team that really has kind of flown under the radar. I mean, you know, the quarterback's a local guy from Penn Charter around here. I'm friends with his family. I like the kid a lot. They put up 540 points this year. The Atlanta Falcons. That's good for a top 20 team all time in terms of scoring. No one's really kind of giving them their proper due. Is it because they don't necessarily believe in them? They've come to this point before. They've never really gotten quite over the hump. They beat Seattle a few years ago to get to San Francisco, then blew a big lead at home, and Frisco went on to the Super Bowl. Then they had they were 5-0 last year, didn't make the playoffs, and here they are, 11-5, 5-3 at the Georgia Dome this year, but they do host a first-round game in 2 weeks. They have the bye. Is there any reason people are overlooking the Falcons, or am I just reading that wrong?
No, I think you're right, but I think it's more, again, offense, defense based. Atlanta put up 30 points or more 11 times in 16 games. That's incredible. I'm sure we'll talk about Matt Ryan for MVP, but to me, 11-5, and I'm not prone to pick Patriots, despite my son loving them. If anything, I go the opposite way, plus Giants, Patriots in the Super Bowl. You know where that went, 2-0. But
right. Sure.
If he goes 11-5 and Brady goes 11-1, I'm not sure, you know, and the same with Rodgers, who was average at best the first half of the year. So if those are the three candidates, and that seems to be the three everyone's talking about, Ryan, Rodgers, and Brady, I think I'm going to go with Brady. I think the other thing with Atlanta is they win shootouts. I don't know, again, when you start to look at playoff football, and I still believe in that old defense adage, and the Seahawks, their defense has always been able to travel. I don't know that it will this year. The Patriots, at the end of the day, you look up, and once again, the Patriots gave up less points. Don't talk to me about yardage. You know, at the end of the day, the Patriots gave up less points than any team in the NFL. Their defense virtually always travels. So I think that's the problem with Atlanta. Can they win shootouts? Absolutely. Can they win three shootouts to win the Super Bowl? I don't think so. Can their defense step up and stop one of these really good teams they're going to face, like maybe the Packers or maybe the Patriots? I don't think so. You know, my concern for the Giants, and I know we'll get to them more later, is, you know, offensively, where are they? Their defense is fine. But that's kind of where they went, you know, winning that Super Bowl 17-14, for example. I think at the end of the day, you got to look at the team's defenses, and that's why I think Atlanta, and to a lesser degree Dallas, I won't say has been overlooked, but has not moved into the heavy favorite role. I don't think anyone's going to say now that Dallas is a heavy favorite to get to the Super Bowl. I don't believe that. They might be the favorite, I'm not sure. But again, if you have to go through what they have to go through, that's going to be very hard to do.
Yeah, you mentioned the Giants. They're just averaging 19.4 points a game this year. The only team with less points in the playoffs, those Houston Texans. Let's take a look at the AFC, and we will get to that MVP discussion, because I don't think it is a discussion, and I think you know where I stand on that, and I think you're leaning that way as well, but we'll get to it. I think there's Brady fatigue. That's the only reason that maybe people might go elsewhere with their votes, but because Brady seems to win it every year. He's like the Gretzky of football. But here we go. So New England, they have a bye. They play January 14th, Saturday, 8:15, the primetime game. 8-0 on the road this year. What else do we need to talk about, you know, with New England? They were 6-2 on the road. Of course, one of those games was without Brady. They're doing it without Gronk. Like you said, they don't give up points. Brady just broke Nick Foles' record for 27-2. He was 28-2, touchdowns versus interceptions this year, missing the four games. I don't care about those four games. He was 11-1 when he was back. He's unbelievable still at 39 years old. But we also know, and we've seen before, that the best team on paper and the best team with a quarterback named Tom Brady doesn't always win. Where might be their pitfalls? Because if you look at the teams they would have to play at some point, the only way they would play the Steelers would be in the AFC title game. And I like to, you know, go match up quarterback for quarterback when you get to the playoffs. Other than that, you know, they've handled KC very well. Miami's Miami. They've beaten them twice this year. Houston and Oakland with their quarterbacks, you know, don't give me them. You know, to me, it's Pittsburgh can really only give them a run, maybe KC. They have Tyreek Hill, and they have Alex Smith. They also have Andy Reid. So to me, I'll put him in the negative column. But can anyone stop New England? All they have to do is win two games at home, and they're back in the Super Bowl.
I think it would be a big surprise if they are not in the Super Bowl, but I do think the Steelers, you know, it's what you said, you kind of go to the quarterbacks, and if you saw the listing, Brady has 33 playoff wins, Big Ben has 11, Alex Smith even has 2, and the others, I think, all have 0. So the Patriots, at least to get to the Super Bowl, have a relatively easy road. You'd rather have the Patriot road than, for example, the Dallas road, which is going to be much tougher.
Sure.
But as I said, their defense travels. You wake up at the end of the year, they gave up the least points. This is, even with trading Chandler Jones before the season and then letting Jamie Collins go and what has to be some kind of Bill Belichick purge, I'm all for the
yes.
Get rid of a year early, not a year late. But, boy, you take those two guys out of that defense, and in the middle of the season I was like, wow, are they that good? Are they that athletic that they can lose these guys? But they've weathered that
right.
storm, and they've obviously weathered the Gronkowski storm. And I think my son should write a letter to Bill Belichick and say, look, I've been telling you for years, don't play Gronkowski during the regular year. You know, let him play the last four games, half a game. It's really bizarre that this guy – and don't forget, I think I told you the story. We went to the Giant-Patriot Super Bowl in Indianapolis, and off the ball on the first play of the game, he just watched Gronkowski run down the field, and he couldn't run. And he just turned to me and said, we got a problem here. Gronkowski can't run. So
yep.
He makes them a super offense, but they're still an excellent offense now. And, you know, they've come on with Floyd. Floyd looks like not only a deep threat, he threw that great block. He took four guys
into
the end
zone. Did you see that block? That block
yeah.
was
– It was unbelievable.
That poor
and
son
he,
of a gun. I don't know if he's woken up yet.
Right, and he took four guys into the end zone, so he's got a little toughness to him as well. But I think he's a deep threat, and they've really, again, you don't replace Gronkowski, but Bennett's an excellent tight end. He's a number one on, you know, more than half the teams in the NFL. So I like their defense. I think it's going to be hard, but I totally agree with you. The Steelers are the one team, I think, that could beat them in Foxborough. And I give Kansas City more of a chance than in the past, but I still don't think they would get over the hump against this team. Andy Reid against Bill Belichick, and at Foxborough, I think that's too much for the Chiefs, even though they have improved. One thing on Tyreek Hill, when we talked about him last week, it's interesting because I think on the one hand, I was negligent in not knowing when you asked about the fifth-round draft pick. On the other hand, I'll convict the NFL and the announcers because, tell me if you knew this, I did not, and I watched a ton of Kansas City Chiefs games. He had a domestic abuse. He pled guilty to a domestic abuse misdemeanor his senior year in college, and that's the main reason more than the little college, although the little college contributed to it as well.
Sure.
I did not know that, which is surprising, not because I should know that a fifth-round draft pick last year when he was drafted had that problem, but here he is, a star in the league, whatever you think of him. He's a star, and I don't think anybody mentioned it, certainly not in any game I watched, and I must have watched five or six KC games start to finish, and nobody ever didn't even mention the old, hey, you know how they talk, had his issues off the field, or I never even heard that, Joe. So I think yes, I should have known that, but no, I think as usual, I don't know if you want to call it a cover up, but they just don't mention these things, and it's kind of disappointing. And you know, Ezekiel Elliott has been under investigation virtually all year, and everybody kind of knows that. There was that famous meeting with Jerry Jones and the woman from the NFL who the NFL had hired, and it sounded like he semi-threatened her, although, you know, the stories are disputed, but nothing's come of that either. And again, does the NFL want to have a superstar, and he's a superstar in the league in 1 year, do they want him suspended during the year? Will something come out after the year? So the NFL still does a poor, that's for another show, I'm sure, but the NFL still does a poor stuff with that, and sometimes the announcers, frankly, look the other way.
No, they do, and some of them, like you said, it hasn't been really advertised. I knew just because I went back and I said, who is this cat? Where did he come from? Why isn't he an Eagle? And I had to find out more about him. But, yeah, I had to dig a little bit to find out that little blurb, which usually isn't a blurb when that kind of appears on a guy's rap sheet. But he is explosive. He is a weapon. He's a guy you should not be kicking to in the likes of a Devin Hester type player. He's just – he can break a game open. He can change a game. He's a guy who can do that. Now, let me ask you, because you said you're a little bit more on Kansas City this year. I am too. 12-4 this year. They win in Oakland, albeit without Derek Carr playing for the Raiders. And, boy, the Raiders are 12-4, have to play a road game against a 9-7 Houston team. They're falling under some hard times. But what does KC have to do to get over the hump, I should say? Is Tyreek Hill the guy? Is he a guy who can get them to the next level? Is this the year Andy Reid? You know, maybe by the subtraction of Doug Peterson, is this something that's going to finally, after what, 17 years in the league, Andy makes the jump? Or is it just KC is who they are? They got Alex Smith. Justin Houston didn't play for a couple games. What can the Chiefs do? Can they get past the Steelers, the Patriots? Can they represent the AFC West, or is it just too much for a team of KC's ilk to handle?
I think it's a little much, although I do think Tyreek Hill could be the wild card. But, again, you're dealing with intelligent teams, and no matter what Terry Bradshaw says, intelligent coaches and Tomlin and Belichick. And, you know, it's the first time I've watched a pregame show from start to finish this past week. Terry Bradshaw never mentioned what he had said the week before, which, again, was beyond stupid. I know, again, you have to say things to be relevant, I think, and he said that, but you picked on the wrong guy, and I thought Tomlin handled it pretty well. He made that reference to Hollywood Henderson, who famously in the 70s said Terry Bradshaw couldn't spell cat if he spotted on the C and the A. And that was Terry Bradshaw's reputation. And never forget, whatever you think of Terry Bradshaw as a quarterback, he had Lynn Swann, he had John Stallworth, and he had one of the greatest defenses in the history of pro football. So I don't know that he should be talking about stuff like that. And, again, we talked last week, I would take Tomlin over Cowher myself. Others might disagree, but they're at least close, you have to say. So the notion that he's a cheerleader is absurd. But I think Andy Reid's a good coach. He's had good success. I just don't know what gets him over the hill. Tyreek Hill would have to do something amazing. And Alex Smith, I do not call him a game manager. He's more than a game manager, but he's going to have to step up his game even more when you're going against Big Ben and Tom Brady. And I don't think they can get there. If there's ever a time when they're playing at Arrowhead at home, I don't know if that will ever happen in the Tom Brady era, which might go on for another, you tell me. I see at least 2 years. I know he said 10 years last year, but I see at least two more because he doesn't have a lot of athleticism to lose. He worked very hard on himself during the offseason. He's excellent in the pocket, that little shifting around. He's still the best fourth and one quarterback in the history of football. So I don't see much of this changing. So, no, I think Tyreek Hill, if they could get by one or both of them, I think Tyreek Hill would have to have monstrous games. And, again, I think these two coaches won't let him have monstrous games. They'll kick away from him. They'll key on him when he's on offense, for example. And I think, no, I don't think the Chiefs can get to the Super Bowl.
I agree with you, and they're certainly going to be rooting, I would think, or at least the fan base would be rooting for Miami this weekend because if the Steelers win, the Chiefs have had lots of problems with them. They've lost four of their last five to the Steelers, including a game, a week four loss, 43-14 this year, the week after the Steelers got hammered by the Philadelphia Eagles. So the Steelers, to me, really are the third seed, but I think they are the team, aside from New England, have the best chance of making it to the Super Bowl. I like Ben Roethlisberger. He didn't have a great rookie Super Bowl, but I think he's an absolute stud, second-best quarterback left in the AFC, maybe the second-best quarterback. You can argue Aaron Rodgers behind Tom Brady right now. But they play Miami. Miami beat them this year. Jay Dye had that 200-yard game. I'm not sure what week it was, but the Steelers, you know, have hung in there. Roethlisberger has gotten, you know, his team together 11-5 this year. Miami is relatively healthy with their quarterback Ryan Tannehill, who shouldn't be mentioned in the same breath as Ben Roethlisberger, but they did beat him this year. Any chance that happens again? Any chance for the upset this weekend?
I think there's a chance, and certainly I'm shocked. The line I saw was Steelers -9.5. I can't believe that.
I saw that too. I almost fell out of my chair.
Yeah, but again, it's we'll see what your analysis is when we make our picks. It's you know, I'm definitely going to take the Dolphins, but it sounds like really the Steelers minus 9.5. I don't think
yeah,
so.
I'm,
so do I think Miami can win? I do, but I don't think they will. Certainly, I don't think Ajayi can go for 200 plus yards again. Although he did do it three times, and I forget the exact stat, but only a few guys have done that in the history of the NFL. So. Can it happen? Yes. Will it happen? I don't think so. Are the Steelers going to win by 10 or 14 or 21? I don't think that either. It's there's some interesting lines here. I know we'll probably do all four games, but these lines to me are very interesting. And I think there's some underdog value here that I didn't think there would be before the lines came out. But, hey, those guys know more than I do. That's why they're in Las Vegas. So we'll see what happens. But, no, I don't think the Dolphins will beat the Steelers. And they might go 8 in the box. Who knows? Obviously, they're going to dare them to pass and beat them on through the air than on the ground.
Sure. Well, let me get to the other game in the AFC. It's probably the weakest game because of the quarterback situation. Brock Osweiler did come in and help Houston win a game this past weekend. Oakland, Matt McGloin, Connor Cook. It's a shame Derek Carr will not be in the lineup. They're 12-4 this year, and this was the team. I really wanted to see them with a healthy Derek Carr and see how they would fare in the playoffs and if they were for real or not. Not only are they 12-4 and they lose their quarterback, they have to go on the road and face, to me, a very, very bland, mediocre Houston team with another quarterback situation up in the air. Is this a game that of no relevance who wins, or is this can Oakland still make a move without their quarterback?
I don't think they can make a move at all, frankly, and it's disappointing because I know we talked about it. I did go out to California to visit my son. He lives outside of Oakland, and we went to see Atlanta at the time beat Oakland. Oakland was terrible at home early in the season, you'll recall, but it was a shootout. I think it was like a 37-34. I don't remember the exact score, but they were just running up and down like it was 7-on-7, and they were playing a two-hand touch or something. But no, Derek Carr, you know, Derek Carr, I guess, could be a candidate for MVP had he played well the last few games and they had gotten that number two seed, which I think they might have. You know, I don't know. This turned out to be, you know, the whole Kubiak thing. Apparently he told the team before that game, and I think that led to an even, you know, I don't see how you could like the Raiders because how are they going to score? Plus the Broncos have a great defense. But I don't think look, I'm no Brock Osweiler fan, and we've kind of criticized him all year, but he did get $72 million for essentially seven games and then got benched for the playoffs in the Super Bowl. But having said that, he did play pretty well the other day, and he gives them a quarterback advantage over the Raiders.
Yes, he does.
And I think they said, Matt, I think McGloin is hurt. I don't think he's going to play. I don't know if that's I don't know if that's official yet, but you know, Osweiler was 21-for-40, 253 yards, one touchdown, no picks. He had a rushing touchdown. They lost to the Titans. But, you know, he's kind of got a good warm-up game that Cook certainly does not have. So I do think it's irrelevant from a can they win two games or get to the Super Bowl. And I totally agree with you because I was really on the Raiders this year and liked them a lot saw them firsthand even though they lost, as we talked about, their defense, which came on towards the end of the season. And I'll vote Khalil Mack the Defensive Player of the Year if we're going to talk about that.
Absolutely.
But without Carr, I mean, he's one of those MVP type guys, and so I like the Texans in the game mainly because of the quarterbacks. And you'll laugh now, but Osweiler is the more experienced, has started, you know, so I think they're going to win that game. But I do think it's, you'd love to see the ratings of the four games, because if you're a heavy football fan, you're going to watch them all, but if you're not, you're not even turning that one on because it virtually doesn't matter. You're just not. That's the reality. You know.
No, you're not. That's like background noise. All right, Stephen. Let's pick the games now, and then we'll get to the awards, MVP voting, and whatnot. But we've been over the games. How'd you do in your final week, by the way? Week 17, and then who do you got? And let's go through all four games.
Yeah, I actually went 2-1. I like the Packers. I split with you on the Patriots because I thought the Dolphins at home getting 9.5, but of course that turned out to be a total joke. And I also like the Brownies, who almost pulled one out. You know, I spoke to Rick Morris, our buddy from Cleveland, and there was a strong feeling in Cleveland, in the stadium, that we don't want to win this game because we might have to, you know.
Oh, totally.
We would, if they tied. I did not know this, but San Francisco had the tiebreaker. They would have gotten the first pick if they were both 2-14. So there was a strong movement unbeknownst to me. And if you watch the end of that game, and I did, you know, they had first and goal at the last minute and they fumbled.
Yes.
They certainly looked like they were going to score. They were driving down the field in OT and just had to, you know, take the field goal. But they certainly covered. You know, that's the greatest thing in the world when you're in an overtime game and you're getting more than six, right? That's like the greatest luck feeling in the history of the world. So I took the Brownies and, you know, and they covered. But I'm glad they already announced Hugh Jackson is staying, and I'm glad he is because I think they have an upside. I don't know if RG3 is the answer. They still might need a quarterback. But for this week, I'm going to take the Texans -3 by default. They're home. They have an excellent defense. The Raiders are not remotely the offensive team without their quarterback. And again, Osweiler played well last week, so he kind of has a practice game going into this. I'm going to take the Lions +7.5 against the Seahawks. You know, it's the old, so suppose the Seahawks play really well at home and they're up, I don't know, 28-14 late in the game. You know, this could be a backdoor cover kind of game.
Yep.
The Lions went out toe-to-toe with the Packers the first half, you know, but then they. I'm a little worried because the Lions are hurt in the secondary, but I'll take the Lions +7.5. I'll take the Dolphins +9.5. If they can get their ground game going, that should be at least a close game. So I'll take the Dolphins +9.5. And I'm going to take the Giants getting 4.5, the line I saw with the Packers. I think this is going to be a very tough game for the Giants. If you believe in the Giants, and I do, they can win this game. But, boy, this is like the toughest draw. I would much rather, as would everybody, much rather have had them play the Lions. I guess if they had to go to Seattle, I'd almost rather they play Seattle in Seattle than play Green Bay in Green Bay. But the line is what the line is, so I'll take the Giants +4.5 against the Packers.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. When I went 1-2 last week, an unceremonious finish to a very mediocre season, I think I was in the positive, but that'll probably cover your vig. You can go home saying you had some fun. Dallas +6. I liked anybody getting points against the Eagles, and they looked like they were going to get it done, a late field goal by the Birds in a meaningless game. Lost Patriots, like you mentioned. They won that game rather handily, and then I had Detroit as well. I went against the public and against history, and of course, those who don't learn from history are doomed to repeat it, which I did. So 1-2 on in the season finale. I'm going Raiders. I just have watched the Texans this year. I just don't love them. I don't love Bill O'Brien. This is almost my heart rooting in this game. In a meaningless game, I'm going to go with my heart, and I really hope the Raiders get it done, even though I wouldn't bet with my heart. But I'm going to go for the Raiders. I got 3.5, what I'm looking at right now. I'm going with the Lions as well. That's either 7.5 or 8 at this point. It seems really high. I know the Lions have struggled. Seattle's good at home. But that's a lot of points. You could see a backdoor cover. They can score. But like you said, their secondary is banged up. I'm going to go with the Steelers in this game, Stephen. If I really had to put my money down on it, I'd have a hard time getting it out of my hands because I don't like to lay 10 points in a playoff game. But I think that line's just out of whack. And sometimes when the line's out of whack, when it looks too good to be true, it is. I also like the Giants. They've done it before in Green Bay against Brett Favre and against Aaron Rodgers. I like them. If they lose the game, they could keep it close, could come down to a field goal. I don't think the Pack have been world beaters per se, but they are 6-0 down the stretch. But I like the Giants' defense. You mentioned defense, 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 and it still holds true today. The old adage, you know, offense might win games, defense wins championships. That's what gets it done in the playoffs. They are averaging under 20 points again, but their defense has been stellar. I'm going with the Giants plus the 4.5 in Lambeau this weekend. We've got about 7 or 8 minutes left, my friend. Let's talk about awards this year. Well, award. Let's start with the MVP because we'll give that a little bit more time. I think I know where you're leaning. I don't think it's even that much in question, except for the people who are Brady fatigued, and they may just say, you know what, I'm tired of Tom Brady. Let's give it to blah, 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 because he had a decent year, and the Falcons are 11-5. Matt Ryan, let's say, or Aaron Rodgers came on strong. But I think if you really had to be honest with yourself, it's Brady. But, you know, your opinion may differ. Might have changed in the last half hour. What do you think of the MVP this year?
No, I'm going to go with Brady as well. I just don't see quarterbacks with the 6-loss season, the 5-loss season. Aaron Rodgers, the tale of two halves. Matt Ryan, good, but again, 11-5. I thought once they got going that they would be even better. I think Brady's done what nobody's ever done before. You said it. Yeah, he broke Nick Foles' record, but it is the highest touchdown to interception ratio in the history of the NFL.
Incredible.
28-2. I think you just leave it right there. I don't think it's a conversation, but you're right. There's a lot of love, hate. You know, the Patriots have kind of become like the Yankees over the last 12, 13 years.
Yeah, exactly.
And,
right.
And there's a lot of Yankee haters, and there's a lot of Patriot haters. But I viewed it, and we talked about it. I thought they could go 12-0 with Brady. They went 11-1.
Yes,
I still view
right?
this as the Tom Brady you know, I wonder if he's like talking to himself before he's playing, saying, "Will I shake the commissioner's hand in the winner's circle when he gives me the MVP of the Super Bowl trophy?" And I really think, look, this all goes back to me, the Spygate, when they went 18-0 before they lost to the Giants. This is a similar kind of thing that we saw. And I didn't do all the point spreads. I know you pick the Patriots virtually every week. But I assure you, had you bet the Patriots in the 12 Brady games and just gone to Vegas and got a room for 12 weeks and bet, you know, $50,000 a week, you would have made a lot of money, you know, and $5,000 a week. I'm not a big gambler. But you would have made a lot of money just betting that on the aggravation tour or the revenge tour or the whatever, the Flakegate tour, whatever you want to call it. So I think it is Brady. You know, can they give it to Ryan? I think they can, but it would be almost a lifetime achievement award. It's hard for me to think that you're 10-6 or 11-5 and you're the MVP of the entire league. I would have maybe put Carr ahead of both of them and maybe given Brady a run depending on how he did these last couple weeks, but I can't do that now, much as I think Derek Carr became a real star this year.
Sure. No, I agree with you. We're in agreement on Tom Brady, MVP of the league. How about Rookie of the Year? Do you want to give one or do you want to do each league?
I was just going to do one. I was going to go for me.
Yeah,
I was
going to do one too.
I was going to give it to Elliott, as good as Prescott is. And I saw a nice interview where they said, no, he's the MVP. No, he's the MVP. No, he's the Rookie of the Year. No, he's the Rookie of the Year. And he does have the advantage of the line, but there's no doubt a great offensive line with a great running back in today's NFL, which is rare, makes your quarterback that much better. I don't think anybody looks at Dak Prescott yet as a gunslinger down the field. He did it a couple of weeks ago, one time, really one time the whole year. So I'll go with Ezekiel Elliott. I think it was 1,631 yards, didn't even play the final game of the year. That's pretty impressive.
15 touchdowns,
so,
too. Yep.
So he would be, my Rookie of the Year.
No, I'm with you as well on that. How about Defensive Player of the Year?
I'm going to go to the Raiders for Defensive Player and Coach of the Year. Got to go Khalil Mack. I know some people talked about Vic Beasley of Atlanta, who did have 15.5 sacks, and give him credit. But I watched a bunch of Atlanta games, and I watched a bunch of Oakland games. And as not good as Oakland's defense was, Khalil Mack made plays in a few games to win the game. And I really think he's the Defensive Player of the Year. A lot of people are still picking Von Miller, who also had a great year. Hard to give it to a team that doesn't make the playoffs, frankly.
Sure.
I'll go Khalil Mack, and I'll say just now to finish it up for me, Jack Del Rio, Coach of the Year, because he went game early on when he went for that two-point conversion to win or lose the game.
Right.
And that kind of set the stage for them. They had a few other things like that. Jack Del Rio is kind of the coaching gunslinger, if you will. And it is sad what happened to them, because I think I'd like to see them, even on the road, they'd win this game. But they might have gotten the second seed and gotten a bye. You don't know, because Denver's defense was tough in playing emotionally because Kubiak said he was retiring. But I'll go both Oakland Raiders, Khalil Mack, and Jack Del Rio for Coach of the Year.
I'm actually with you on both of those. I was going to go Jack Del Rio with the 12-4. Derek Carr not going to take them anywhere this year. Khalil Mack, I talked about him, the kid from Buffalo who got some notoriety, was a high pick in the draft, and certainly he's made the most of it. Von Miller, I wouldn't have a problem if anyone picked him, but I, you know, for what the Raiders did from 1 year to the next, and Jack Del Rio, that team meeting he had after one of those wins, where he said we learned to compete last year. This year we learned how to win, and it's I'm really disappointed because I do like Jack Del Rio, and I'm really disappointed to not be able to know how the story would have ended for Oakland
right.
if Derek Carr would have been in the mix. So it's very, very disappointing. We have about 30 seconds left. Just real quick, college football. Both of our teams that we picked are in the title game, Alabama and Clemson. You still going Clemson, my friend?
I am going Clemson. We did this last year. We almost beat them last year. People are saying Alabama's defense is better this year than last year. I just don't know if that's true now in terms of the secondary. Now, they shut down the Washington quarterback, who's a great quarterback. But Deshaun Watson has been there, done that last year, put 40 up on them, and I think they get the job done. I think the spread was 6.5 or 7, so I certainly like Clemson with the points, but I think they went outright.
I like them outright, too. Hopefully, they'll end the Alabama dynasty run for now. We got to go, Steve. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Enjoy the game.